Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
And indeed, it is the beginning of moving day at the 79th Masters. You know, they turned it into a farm during World War II, but since then it's been played every year at the Augusta National. It's a beautiful golf course. And at the top of the leaderboard by 21-year-old Jordan Spieth. This doesn't mean anything, he says, unless I can close it out. Well, he starts this third round 14 under 130, tied the 36-hole major championship mark, bettering Ray Floyd's 131 at Augusta in 1976. Spieth has a 5-stroke lead over Charlie Hoffman, who hasn't gotten enough love for his second-place position. But as Jordan Spieth says, we got a long way to go.
A place like Augusta National and a tournament like this, that there's a lot of stuff can happen, a lot of lead changes can happen, and holes can lend birdies and they can lend double bogeys. So you just have to really be patient, not try and force anything.
Sitting with us now, Alex Maselli, Golf Week senior writer, co-host of the Grill Room Golf Radio Show with Bob Bupka on TuneIn. And you can find the link, listen via Golf Week magazine right on the banner, the Grill Room Golf Show. Welcome to the show, Alex.
Thanks, Danielle. How are you?
Doing fine. I mean, this is really exciting, watching everything that's going on. A lot of red numbers on that leaderboard. Anybody nervous at Augusta, the members, the people who put this tournament on, that this course may be just too easy to get?
I don't think so. You have to realize that the weather has a lot to do with what happened here. And this has been a relatively cold, not a lot of wind, damp lead-in. So I think they're fine with who they got on top of the leaderboard. It's a great leaderboard, a mix of everything, and I think they're absolutely happy with what they have.
Excellent. Are you working with Janice this morning? We're getting a little bit of feedback, so I just wanted to see if something could be adjusted. Alex Maselli, it was a wonderful dinner. Were you there for Drive Chip Putt?
I was not. I actually covered the college event that's in Augusta every year, where Augusta State puts it on, and some of the best college teams in the country.
Wow. Okay. It was, from all I heard, a huge success. That drive chip putt is taking off like gangbusters and accomplishing exactly what everybody at the Augusta National and of course, USGA, PGA of America, all these people getting together to try to get the kids into the game. And when I talk about kids, I mean, Jordan Spieth is 21. Is he the counterpart for the United States, Rory McIlroy?
You know, I don't think so, Danielle, because Rory came from Northern Ireland, and there really wasn't a lot of golf in Northern Ireland, at least not championship golf. And, you know, there was a Graham McDowell, but that was maybe a Darren Clark. Jordan Spieth comes from a state that probably has more championship golfers in Northern Ireland. So I think it's just the rebirth, maybe to some extent, of the younger golfers in the United States. And he's just one of many to go through a litany of really good golfers that are coming up over the next couple of years in the U.S.
We're going to take a real quick break and thank the people who make this show possible and see if it's our end that's causing the reverb. We're talking with Golf Week senior writer Alex Maselli. I just love sitting with him at the Sony Open and the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. But we'll be back. We need to thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Star Protection. For property threat and risk assessment, protection for your home or business, for your concert or special event like the Hyundai Tournament of Champions, get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California. Alert Alarm of Hawaii, providing closed-circuit television surveillance systems for both commercial and residential customers across Hawaii. These systems can be monitored anywhere in the world on your laptop or smartphone. Alert Alarm of Hawaii, your Kama'aina video surveillance company. Also by Creative Plumbing. Whether a building, shopping center, store, custom home, or townhouse, call Creative Plumbing, because it has to be done right. Creative Plumbing. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, hosted PGA of America Grand Slam of Golf for over 10 years. An outstanding golf course for golfers of all abilities, the Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. And by Acura of Honolulu, where military appreciation never ends. Ask TJ about the military appreciation pricing and discount. Acura of Honolulu at 3251 North Nimitz Highway, just townside of Airport Hotel. It's a great day to test drive an Acura of Honolulu.
It's a great location to test drive, too, because they're right on Nimitz Highway. Easy for you to come in, get out, get on the road, and get a feel for the Acura. We've got a couple of tee times for you over at Poipu. There's a 10:20, an 11:30, and, of course, the gift card is a perfect gift for any golfer on your gift list. And there's the 40% off table of excellent golf shirts. Now, Alex Maselli, senior writer, Golf Week magazine. Give us a sense, you know, what's the Masters like this year for you? Give us a feel for the place.
Well, I mean, I think coming in, Danielle, there was this excitement just generally because of Rory McIlroy going for career Grand Slam. But you come here, and every year it's pretty pristine, unlike any other venue you go to, because they basically own the place. They have, 350-something days to prepare for the next Masters Championship. So when you get here, it's as good as it can get at any golf tournament anywhere in the world. And that's how they always want it. And like, I just got out of a meeting, about an hour or so ago with four different green jackets where we talked about just how we can make it better from the media standpoint. I mean, you really rarely have those meetings with anybody else in golf. And their concern is to make it as good as they can make it for everybody that attends, even the media.
That's one. I can't imagine. I mean, the media's room is it's beautifully set up. So you're sitting layered down. The word for that beautiful Roman forum type seating, and then you've got the score. So you never really, there's no bad seat in the house. And right behind, there's the what looks like a 24/7 buffet that constantly they're feeding you. Do you guys gain weight while you're covering the Masters?
Yes, we absolutely do. There's no way around that, because even the most disciplined journalist will eat something he probably shouldn't eat during this week.
All right. Speaking of changes, for journalists, making it better, what was one of your suggestions?
Well, most of it had to do on the golf course. As you know, you can't have phones or anything like that, any electronic device on the golf course. And in this modern age of trying to cover golf, it is very difficult to cover a golf tournament when you can't have any modern equipment out there to even follow the players. As you also know, I'm sure that there's no standard bearers with the groups. There's very few scoreboards. And so you really have no idea what a guy has done when he comes in practically. It makes it very difficult to be able to talk to somebody about their round when you don't even know what they did during their round.
And that's another thing about their website. When you look for the leaderboard, I have to go to PGAtour.com, because at Masters.com, while the feed is excellent, if you don't have a television, go to Masters.com, and the quality is astounding. But their leaderboard does not tell you what the player had the day before. So you're like, all right, what's the score here? And it's just interesting the way they do things. Now, there was a lot of talk before the Masters began, and there's always a lot of speculation about everything, including what if Bubba Watson in 4 years wins his third green jacket? Would we have to Bubba-fy the course? Would they, they try to make it so that Tiger Woods couldn't overwhelm it when he did so well? What, he won by how many strokes when he was a small?
Yes, it was a lot. It was a considerable amount. And
yeah, so they were talking about, well, maybe we've got to do something so the left-handers don't have the advantage and overpower the course.
Well, I think, every year is different. And if you look at, there's a left-hander on the board right now, obviously, in Phil Mickelson. But there's a lot more right-handers than left-handers on the board. And Jordan Spieth doesn't seem to be too concerned about the left-hand or the right-hand jinx. So I think that what you do is you try to enjoy this event for what it is and not worry about that. I don't believe that their concern is to Bubba-fy or Tiger Fly or anything else that's golf course. I suggested at our annual golf writers dinner that maybe they should look at the par 3 course, because clearly after five aces that day and Jack making one, that they should maybe do something to deal with Jack making it at 75 years old, making a hole-in-one. There should be some concern there, actually.
I was more concerned about Dustin Johnson. Three eagles in one round?
Well, you know, look, I know that makes it sound like the golf course is easy, but, you know, there are guys that can come out here with their length, and the par fives are certainly the gettable part of this golf course. So you would expect that someone would play well on the par fives. I mean, there's numerous times we've seen 4-under and 5-under on par fives, so the fact that you see Dustin Johnson at, I think, 7-under yesterday should not surprise you.
Well, I was watching Rory McIlroy, and he was having not the best first nine, and then he eagled, and just he was, you know, got the mojo going back again. It was just, it's just interesting to see. You know, we talk about him having Jordan Spieth having a 5-stroke lead. That can disappear, can't it?
Well, it can. You just have to ask Greg Norman, which I actually did ask yesterday. People don't realize that Greg Norman had a 6-shot lead going into Sunday in 1996. And Nick Faldo only shot 67. It doesn't sound like a lot, but he shot 67 and won by 5. So he's 6 shots back and won by 5, shooting 67. So that can give you an idea of how things can go haywire very quickly.
Another person I'm thinking about is Adam Scott and his decision to move from, he was trying the regular size putter earlier in the year after, I guess, practicing it with it for a month or 2 months. And then he switched from that short putter to the long putter, the anchored putter for this tournament. Do you think, I don't know, it just seems like he's putting himself in a position of mixing it up too much.
I don't agree with that. I think the bottom line is, if you don't feel comfortable putting with a standard shaft length putter, mm-hmm. and you don't have to, why would you?
I get it. Yep.
And I think that's the approach he took. And by the way, Danielle, as I'm sitting here and you were talking about eagling, Rory McIlroy eagled the second hole to go 4-under through two. But I think that, you know, Adam Scott has a long time to prepare himself for having to get away from the long shafted putter. And there's no reason in the world for him to move away from it if he doesn't want to right now. He won't have a choice next year at this time, so he might as well take full advantage of it now if he wants to.
Excellent. Ben Crenshaw. I was really touched yesterday when, I guess, his final competitive round, and were you there when he came off at the 18th?
I wasn't at the 18th. I was in the where the scoring facilities were.
Okay.
I saw some pictures of him being hugged by, you know, many green jackets, including Billy Payne.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the one thing I would say about Augusta National is its history in golf is one thing, but its history with its former champions is something completely different. They're a solid group here at the Champions Dinner on Tuesday night. Ben Crenshaw, who is basically the host or spokesperson, got up and talked about the importance of Augusta National to him and brought some other people into the discussion. I know that there was a lot of emotion that night on Tuesday night, with including Arnold, who at 85, you know, after losing Billy Casper last year or this year earlier, have to realize that at some point, not everybody in that room is going to be there. And Arnold at 85, and, you know, some people questioning how good his health really is, was very touched by the situation there. And I think all these guys feel that they're part of a very, very elite and small fraternity.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what you get when you see Ben Crenshaw coming off yesterday, is the idea that he will still be here, but his days as a competitor are now over.
Well, when he talked about his caddy, he said, "Whatever I've achieved at Augusta has been due to Carl. He made me yearn for knowledge about that golf course. He knew me and knew my moods. Carl, my friend, knew I was struggling with my game in 1995, just after Harvey Penick's death. He watched a few swings, a few half-hearted swings, and he could tell I was sort of lost. Carl picked me up and got me back on track that week. That just, you know, just brings like tears to your eyes. The connection between Carl, who couldn't caddy for Ben Crenshaw because of his health. Then I heard that Jordan Spieth and his caddy kind of share a special bond with Ben Crenshaw. Do you know when that relationship began? Because apparently Jordan's caddy often quotes Carl Jackson, Ben Crenshaw's caddy, as saying, you know, this is what Carl says about this place. This is what Carl suggests.
It's very recent, and if you talk to Michael Geller, who is Jordan's caddy, you know, he realized he actually spends time each day inside the caddy hut with the local caddies, the local Augusta caddies, and tries to gather some information off of them as he sits down with the tee sheet that day, or the pin sheet rather, and goes over the pin sheet and says, where are issues that I might run into over the 18 holes? And, you know, you can't argue with Jordan's success and his limited experience at Augusta National, and you have to believe that some of that is due to Michael, his caddy.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree with you more. Absolutely. Alex Maselli, what are you going to write about? That's always what I, you know, I've always got to go to golfweek.com and see what Alex is up to, because he's always into it. He's Golf Week senior writer, Alex Maselli. Any final thoughts before we close?
No. I think, Danielle, most of us believe that Jordan Spieth will probably do well today and get himself in position tomorrow. I think you have to watch a couple guys on the board. Obviously, I told you that Rory McIlroy eagled second to get the 4-under, but I think the Dustin Johnsons and the Phil Mickelsons are the ones that most people will be looking at on Saturday during, as you called it, moving day, to see if they can get themselves a little closer. But I can say right now that I would honestly believe that if Jordan Spieth shot two rounds in the 70s, or 70-70, 140, which is exactly what Raymond Floyd did when he had a huge lead in 1976, and what Nick Faldo actually did in 1996 to defeat Greg Norman, I believe that Jordan Spieth will be wearing a green jacket on Sunday.
Awesome. You've got it. Alex Maselli, Golf Week senior writer. Talk to you soon.
Take care, Danielle.
Thank you. We're listening to his show with Bob Bupka, the Grill Room radio show, the Grill Room Golf Radio Show with Bob Bupka on TuneIn. You can find the link on the banner at Golf Week magazine. We'll be back. Ron Cyrak joins us, PGA of America, Lifetime Achievement in Journalism Award recipient. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home, you need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
The beaten path is not for everyone. That's why the Acura MDX is designed just for you. With features like Jewel-Eye LED headlights that mimic natural sunlight, illuminating more of what lies ahead. Integrated dynamic system with three separate performance settings to meet your mood. One-touch walk-in for simple one-button access in and out of the third row. And available Acura Link surface street traffic information to keep you one step ahead of the herd. The Acura MDX. Maybe it's called the beaten path because it can be beaten. 3-year traffic subscription included. See your Acura dealer for system and coverage details.
Be sure to come visit your Hawaii Acura dealers and check out their latest models, cutting-edge features, and amazing deals. Visit your Hawaii Acura dealers today.
Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded. Property guard and patrol services. Loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
Work the ball, play more break, be aggressive.
Wow! 6 feet past the cup. What was I thinking? Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
What were you thinking when it came to Tiger Woods? Were you thinking he's not going to make the cut? Were you thinking he's going to mess it up over the weekend, which is what he's done in recent past? Well, let's see what he's thinking. It was a pretty low moment of his career. That's how Tiger Woods described what he saw in what we saw, and he did in Phoenix. Tiger Woods says he's proud of himself, though, and thanks to people who helped him get through it all.
I'm very proud of what I've done and be able to dig it out the way I have. All the hard work that Chris and I and Rob been putting into it. I was at a pretty low moment in my career, but to be able to basically change an entire pattern like that, and then, you know, put it together and then put it into a position where I can compete in a major championship like this. That's something I'm very proud of.
I would be too. And now that he's competing, he's tied for 19th, as was, I believe, Rory McIlroy at the start of the day. Things have changed. I think Rory just had an eagle, as Alex Maselli told us. And now we're joined by Ron Cyrak, PGA of America Lifetime Achievement and Journalism Award winner, senior recipient, that is. You don't win this, you're given this. Senior writer, Golf Digest, author of Vision 54, the trilogy, and his focus on women's golf and getting into the financial world of golf. Ron Cyrak, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Danielle. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. What a night you had Wednesday night at the dinner. That must have been wonderful. I really enjoyed the speech you presented. What was the most touching part of the award that was given to you by the PGA of America? They singled out a couple of things that I think I referenced just a moment ago.
Yeah, they specifically cited my contribution to the coverage of the women's game, and that meant a lot to me because the LPGA has always been a mission of mine, a really important thing. But it was also special for me, though, that my daughter was able to come in from Los Angeles and be there and see me get the award, and that meant a lot to me because I traveled a lot to do this job, and there were a lot of times when I wasn't able to be with her, at times when I wanted to be with her. So it was great to have her there.
Excellent. You were 45 before you started covering golf. I didn't realize that until I was reading the PGA of America statement, covering full time. That is 140 men and women's majors, 10 Ryder Cups, 7 Solheim Cups. And in 2013, I remember you were on the show every time, 2013, when you covered 9 major championships that year. Does anything, I mean, that's whirlwind travel, amazing events. Does anything stand out over those past 19 years of flying around the world and taking in all of those sights?
I'll tell you, my good friend Dan Jenkins said, Ron, you're not only the only golf writer who's covered all 9 majors in a single season. You're the only one who wanted to. So, everything. There were so many different. I mean, I was here at Augusta when for that Greg Norman Nick Faldo showdown in 1996 when Faldo came from 6 back to beat Norman, and then the next. Well, actually, 3 Masters in a row. 95 was Ben Crenshaw winning. When he right after he'd been Paul Bearer at Harvey Phoenix's funeral, mm-hmm. and he came in here playing horrible golf and won. It was like the hand of fate intervened. The next year was the Norman Faldo showdown, and then 1997 was the Tiger Woods winning by 12 strokes at the age of 21. That's pretty memorable. I was with Annika at Royal Lytham in St. Anne's in 2003 when she completed the career Grand Slam. That's a good memory, but. There's a lot of good ones out there.
A lot of good ones to write about, too. I imagine one day maybe you'll sit down and just talk freely about everything that you've experienced in the game, because there's so much. As a journalist, you said that Jerry Tardy has always had your back, that, you know, go out and tell the truth. But do you find sometimes that you just have to hold back just a little bit so that you don't hurt people?
Well, I think that all writers know more than they write, and I think that's that's the hardest, most important decision you make is what you don't write. And one of the things that players know about me, and agents know this too, and anybody I deal with. If my notebook's in my back pocket, then nothing you say counts. You know, it's just two people chatting. But if I want to write about it, I will take my notebook out and say, okay, we're going to go on the record now. What do you want to say? Mm-hmm. So you have to build up a level of trust. And a big part of establishing that level of trust is you don't write everything you know, because not everything is everybody's business.
Exactly. What is important for us to know as a fan following the sport, as a fan following the performer, the person who is performing the sport, who's playing the game, whatever it happens to be. We don't need to know some of the things that, for instance, we all got to know about Tiger Woods. You know, at some point, we wish we didn't know. But now that he's bringing himself back, so to speak, we started the segment with the Tiger Woods, because I know you've written a lot about him. You followed him. As you said, you were there when he won by 12 strokes. What do you think, as you see him these last 2 days, in fact, as you see him this last week, smiles and bear hugs and just, you know, a different person?
Yeah, you know, first off, it's hard to figure out what to make of that, because that is a different person. And, you know, I don't think Sergio's going to get a bear hug from him today, you know. That's just a guess, but I don't think there's going to be much hugging going on in that twosome. But there's a lot of reason for Tiger to be optimistic about the way he's playing here, because, you know, last time we saw him, he had the chipping yips, and his short game, particularly on Thursday, when he sort of didn't hit the ball all that great and was all over the place, and he turned what could have been a 77 into a 73, and the old Tiger might have turned that round into a 71, but the fact is he contained the damage. And, you know, that's something that we've seen Rory McIlroy not be able to figure out how to do yet. Rory shoots a staggering number of nine hole rounds in the 40s. I don't get where that comes from. But
that's the part where when people talk about Rory McIlroy as being as good as Tiger Woods at this time in their careers, I can't buy it, because of what exactly you said, those 40s.
Right. You saw the great players, Tiger, Jack Nicklaus, Annika Sorenstam, were in contention virtually every time they teed it up.
Yes.
You know, just,
yes.
And Rory throws too many clunkers in there. And, I don't get that. You know, he won that his first major, the U.S. Open at Congressional, by 8 strokes. Then 5 straight majors after that, he was a non-factor. Then he wins the PGA by 8 strokes. Then he goes into the Carolyn Wozniacki slump. You know, and now last year he wins 2 majors, and I thought this year would be a really crucial year for him. This is the year where he was going to prove to me that he's willing to pile victory upon victory.
Yes.
Again, part of what made Tiger or Annika or Jack special is they forgot their wins as quickly as they forgot their losses. You know, that they were never satisfied. If they won a tournament, they wanted to win another one. And Rory doesn't quite show that fire.
Don't see it either. I when I was watching Dustin Johnson, though, because, I mean, 3 eagles in a round, that's pretty phenomenal, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, here's another guy. I mean, you know, we're throwing that word consistency out there, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Here's
another guy who you're never entirely sure when his entire brain's going to show up on the golf course, you know? The talent's always there, but the focus is not always there.
I always think he looks to me like he's cruising on a Muni, just like, you know, or walking down the beach. There's not a complete presence. I don't see
it.
Yes.
Right, exactly. And, you know, look, I'll throw Bubba Watson into that category, too. Is somebody who's an amazing, amazing player, but does not show me consistent greatness. And if we're looking around, you know, Jordan Spieth seems to be one of those players who may establish that kind of consistency. There's nothing overwhelmingly impressive about Jordan Spieth's game, except for the fact that he gets his golf ball into the hole really fast. You know, he's really good around the green, but he contends more often than not, and that's a huge key.
It is.
By the way, Ricky Fowler has turned in 33 and then just birdied 10 and 11, and he's now on the leaderboard at 4 under par.
Good. There's another
10 strokes behind Spieth. Yeah.
How many strokes behind?
10 behind Spieth. But, 10, you know, 10, that, yeah. There's between Fowler and McIlroy are putting some numbers up early out there that might get Spieth's attention. You know, they're going to be, you know, we still got another hour and a half until Spieth tees off. So they could get his attention.
You know, it must be really, for Ricky Fowler, watching Spieth, that must be rough. I mean, here, Fowler was the next golden boy. And nothing, you know, he's won once?
He's won once, yeah. You know, he there was reason for optimism about him last year. First off, he played the majors really well last year. He probably he had a chance to win all four of them. And he started working with swing coach Butch Harmon, and Ricky said a couple of things that I really was happy to hear. He said, "I want to be remembered for more than just my clothes. You know, I don't want to be remembered as a guy who won only once on tour." So those are, it's great to articulate that sentiment. And he seems like he was working hard last year to make his swing more reliable under pressure. And this is, as I said, this is the fifth straight major now where he's on the leaderboard.
It's awesome. Question, are you more surprised that Mickelson is back in the mix or that Tiger made the cut?
You know, that's interesting. I'm probably surprised by both. I have to say I came here not expecting Tiger to play 72 holes, and whether that meant missing the cut or injury or losing interest, you know, I didn't expect him to go 72 holes. But it looks like the ferocity of some of his swings out there seems to indicate that Tiger's having no problems with his back. But, you know, here's Phil. Phil's sitting at, at 6 under par, 8 strokes back. If Phil went out and put up a 67 or a 66 today, then you know, he's right in the mix. And how cool would a Jordan Spieth, Phil Mickelson pairing be on Sunday?
It'd be awesome. It'd be funny, actually. Do you have any, see any dark horses? You know, and I feel bad that I haven't brought up the young man who's right there. He was at number two. His name just, see, isn't that terrible?
Charlie Hoffman.
Yeah, Charlie.
Yeah.
Charlie's not getting any love from us.
Well, for good reason, you know. there's absolutely nothing in his, I mean, he's played 14 majors and missed the cut in half of them and has never finished in the top 25 in a major. So he's won three times on the PGA Tour. You know what Charlie is? He's one of those guys, he's a birdie machine who throws in the occasional blow-up hole to keep him from winning a lot. Asked him yesterday, you know, what's different this week than, and he said, no blow-up holes. But you get the feeling that one or two are lurking out there for him. If I was Jordan Spieth, I'd be looking over my shoulder at Justin Rose, who's in third place, 7 strokes back, and I'd be looking over my shoulder at Phil Mickelson, who's Phil the Thrill, you know. He can always go out there and put up a scary number.
Yeah, Phil amazes me because he's kind of like Tiger was for a while, you know, back then. When he'd be like, God, he'd be lost in the woods, and all of a sudden, wait a minute, he's fifth. Wait a minute, he's second. Yeah. How did you know? It's like, where did you guys? Where were you? How did you do this? It's you turn your back, and all of a sudden, bam, he's in contention. Before we close, I wanted to see if, do you see yourself as like becoming the granddaddy, Dan Jenkins, you know, the elder statesman? Because you've won the PGA of America Lifetime Achievement in Journalism Award. It's like, what next?
What next? The U.S. Open, I guess. I'll give you the way a player would answer it. I'm just taking them one tournament at a time. So.
Well, with a new heart, you're all ready to go. I'm really happy. You're in good health. You're in and your grandson. You spend some time with your grandson?
Yeah, you know, I didn't get to my first Masters till I was 37 years old. He got to his first Masters when he was 7 months old. So he's a little bit. But think of it this way: if my grandson went to every Masters for the next 65 consecutive years, he'd tie the number of Masters Dan Jenkins has been to.
Wow, that's a phenomenal number. And he's doing well, Dan.
Dan is sitting here tweeting his little tweeting his little brains out. And if you want to see fun stuff on Twitter, you read Dan Jenkins. His book should be From Typewriter to Twitter, because the guy's never lost his relevancy.
Excellent, and neither will you. And you can follow Ron Cyrak at. Exactly, Ron Cyrak on Twitter. Congratulations, Ron.
To show that the golfing gods have a sense of humor, putting Tiger and Sergio in the group just made Dan Jenkins' day. They're playing together.
Especially since Sergio has a chip on his shoulder, not just because Tiger, but because of the play this time. It's going to be interesting to watch, and I'm looking forward to talking to you. Going to Chambers Bay?
Yep.
Yes. Excellent.
In fact, I'm going there on April 27th to check it out a little bit early.
Oh, good. I was there and walked the course. I can't wait to talk with you about it. I hope we can. That'd be fabulous.
Now, anytime, Danielle. Anything for you.
Thank you very much. We're going to come back right after this. Barney Adams, some thoughts from Barney on the golf industry. Why did 4 million avid golfers leave the game? My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Alert Alarm of Hawaii provides CCT surveillance systems for both commercial and residential customers across Hawaii. These systems can be monitored via the internet from anywhere in the world on your laptop or smartphone. We can also monitor your video systems for you from our 24-hour local 5-Diamond Alarm Monitoring Center. Call Alert Alarm at 528-6407 for a free security evaluation and estimate. Alert Alarm of Hawaii. Your Kama'aina Video Surveillance Company. Security solutions for your peace of mind.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Hoipu Bay. Call us for your tea time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
I'm 9 now, but when I was 8, I'd do things I wasn't supposed to.
You don't talk when people are putting.
Always repair the ball mark.
You keep your own score, so you have to know how to act.
And you gotta tell the truth.
Put a golf club in kids' hands and watch them grow.
If you do certain things that you're not supposed to, you get a shot added to your score. You don't want to do those things.
The First Tee teaches kids values that will impact their communities and the rest of their lives.
If it wasn't for golf, I'd be like my friends, a couch potato.
Visit thefirsttee.org to learn more.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
A conversation with Barney Adams, the founder of Adams Golf, the first incarnation, the inventor of tight lies, and a respected thinker in the game of golf who boldly went where no man has gone before. He suggested to tee it forward. Get closer to the pin if you're not skilled enough to hit from the back tees. Don't let your ego get in the way, because it'll just make you miserable. The game will be more fun. It'll be faster. We talk about junior golf and the many golf initiatives to grow the game. And Mr. Adams says the initiatives are great, but they're not enough. His entire conversation with me will be aired after the Masters this week and after the Mid-Pac Open and the Lotte Championship. I'm looking forward to you hearing everything that he has to say. One of the questions, of course, the fundamental questions that needs to be answered is, why did 4 million avid golfers leave the game?
In the year 2000, this is National Golf Foundation data, so it's nothing I cooked up. This is public information. Anybody can, I just have to be a member of the National Golf Foundation. But anyway, you can access the data.
Well, Steve Mona's been on the show, and he talks about it. He talks about the numbers, so go ahead.
Well, again, you could tell Steve I said hello. I know.
Okay.
Steve has heard this story from me. We always talk about total golfers, 25 million total golfers, 25 million, 26 million, 27 million, 25 million, whatever. And total golfers, and I look at it like if I'm running a business. And to be in that category, you have to play at least one round a year and be at the age of six or greater. So I'm thinking to myself, you know, from running a business, I'd like to get something that's a little more specific than that. That's a pretty broad category. So if you look within their numbers, they have a category called avid golfers. Avid golfers play at least 25 times a year, but more importantly, when you peruse the data, avid golfers pick up 71% of all golf-related expenses. Now, as somebody doing an analysis of the industry or as a business person, that's a category I get very interested in, because now we've defined a significant percentage of the market if they're picking up 71% of the tab. Back in the year 2000, there were 10.2 million avid golfers. In 2005, for example, there were 9.1 million avid golfers. Today, there's 6.4 million avid golfers. That's a 40% drop of the people who pick up 71% of the tab. So I say to myself, okay, we know who they are. We've already counted them once, so we ought to be able to find them. The USGA, to pick on them as an organization, which is a 501c3, you know, nonprofit, has $300 million in the bank. Again, this is published information. And they're also starting this year on a new TV contract, which pays them $100 million a year. They got plenty of money. If we're really interested in what can we do to be more specific about growing the game, let's take some of that money and incur an exhaustive survey of those 4 million people who dropped out. Why did they leave the game? If we're willing to bet a lot of money that it'll be the old 80-20 rule, that there will be two or three things at the very top that comprise at least 80% of the reasons that they dropped out. Once we identify those things, then we can go to work. We can decide. Now, if, for example, let's say that one of the reasons is the personal economic distress, well, there's not much you can do about that if you're the USGA. That's another issue. But if it's slow play, for example, there's an issue that can be addressed. So in my world, I would go back to the 4 million dropouts, do an exhaustive survey, learn why they stopped playing, and go from there.
There you have it. Why not? I mean, if 4 million people left, and we know they left, and they're avid golfers, and they help support the industry. I mean, some of the things we talk about is the future of the golf just for the elite, just for the wealthy? Because can the game really be made affordable? It's a tough one. And I bring this all up because National Golf Day is April 15th. And We Are Golf, a coalition of golf's leading organizations, will host the 8th annual National Golf Day, Wednesday, April 15th, on Capitol Hill. We were laughing, Steve Mona and I, about the fact that it's April 15th, Tax Day. Planning for golf's much-anticipated return to Capitol Hill is in full swing. They're going to have games. Last year they had the Republicans, by the way, beat the Democrats the putting game. And I always think it's funny that the Republicans give our president grief for playing golf as much as he does. So we're going to take a break. Bob Bupka is coming up. Yes. TheGrillRoom.com. That's where you go because he's the co-host of The Grill Room with Alex Maselli. Maselli, that is. Alex Maselli. On TuneIn Radio, you can get it anytime, but you can go to TheGrillRoom.com and find the show. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens.
Your plumbing can't wait.
It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight.
Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii.
Big business or high rise, retail store, or home. You need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
In the security business, trust is earned over time. That's why Star Protection Agency has grown to be the largest locally owned security company in Hawaii. We've earned a reputation as a common sense, highly responsive, cutting-edge security provider. Our clients know that we're watching out for them. We know that our fast response is what makes us a star performer.
And we'd like to thank our clients for their trust over the past 20 years.
Trust your security to the Star, Star Protection Agency.
Oh man, will you look at that? It's right down the fairway. What a beautiful shot. Oh man, can't be too happy about that one. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
The 79th playing of the Masters at Augusta National, and Jordan Spieth in the lead, and here comes Phil Mickelson. What? Phil wasn't doing very well last year. Well, he was just about counted out, as a matter of fact, in my book. And here comes Phil Mickelson back in contention. You can never count Phil out. And he says he's ready for the weekend.
There's really no different strategy for me going into tomorrow than really what I had today. Today was a tough day starting out where I'm 12 shots off the lead. I've got a difficult golf course with windy conditions and a lot of tucked pins. It was tough to be patient. It was tough not to force the issue and make some dumb mistakes. Would have been really easy to do. But I shot a good round, and tomorrow it's the same goal, is to just go out and shoot as low a round as I can, given what the conditions are, given where the pin placements are. A lot can happen on this golf course, and he was playing some of the best golf coming into this tournament. He's playing the best golf in the tournament, and I expect him to continue that, but you never know what's going to happen in this golf tournament, and if something were to happen, I want to be there to take over.
Absolutely. He wants to be there to take over. He wants another green jacket. And Bob Bupka, voice of golf, golf reporter on Talk Sport. He's just taking a break. This man has been on the UK Talk Sport, 3 million listeners all week. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Danielle. And why don't we get it accomplished right now? I'm going to have to apologize to your great listeners for anything that Alex Maselli said. We have to disregard that. He's the one that's been telling me for 3 months, Tiger's finished, he's dead, he's this, he's that. Well, I made a little wager with him that he was going to make the cut, and boy, is that money going to be sweet in my wallet.
Oh, obviously, we all had our questions, though. I mean, back of your mind, you must have had a little bit of a question about whether or not he'd actually be able to fix that chip shot.
No, not me. I learned a lesson a long time ago that, you know, talent, and especially talent at the level that Tiger Woods possesses, wouldn't take long to come back. And I will note one thing that's really interesting. Watching him prepare for his Thursday round and Friday's round, you did get the sense that, you know, there was a huge weight on his shoulders. I mean, the last thing he wanted to do is come here and not make the cut, but he accomplished that, makes the cut. His warm-up today, he was swinging as well as he ever swung a golf club.
Wow.
So I expect him to really have a good round today.
I was thrilled to see him take the kids to the par 3 contest. That was amazing, and I think it did wonders for him.
Yeah, I was happy about that. I was a little sad that, you know, he brought his girlfriend, Lindsey Vonn, because I told Tiger a long time ago, if you don't have a girlfriend, I'll marry you.
Thank you, Bob. Well, what I thought is that, you know, with his kids, playing golf with his kids, and now the kids are watching TV. They're watching Dad. You know, he's got a whole new audience, his children, to perform for. And that, I think, on some level, must be a really good feeling for him.
It is. You know why? I knew his dad, Earl, very well. And, they had a great father-son relationship. And now Tiger is very concerned and wants to have a great relationship with his two children. And thus far, doing a very, very good job of it. So close family ties mean a lot to Tiger, and as you accurately pointed out, Danielle, watching him at the par par three contest with his two children, Sam and Charlie, serving as caddies and letting Sam, the older one, make a couple of putts. It was good. It was good fun. It was great to see Jack Nicklaus finally make a hole-in-one at Augusta. All the Masters he's played in, all the par three contests he's played in. Last Wednesday was his first hole-in-one. Pretty remarkable stuff.
Yeah, your partner in crime on the Grill Room. By the way, all you have to do, I wanted to make sure that you all know this, because the Grill Room is thegrillroom.com. And then you can listen to the Grill Room Golf Radio Show. It's on TuneIn, powered by Golf Week. And every week they have Alex Maselli and Bob Bubka tee it off against each other. And they play match play on the radio. Only it's match play of the mind, you know, and what they're thinking is usually the polar opposite. What Alex said this morning, a couple of minutes ago, just time flies when you're having fun, is that now that Jack Nicklaus has made a hole in one on the par three course, that changes have to be made. I mean, you can't let a 75-year-old man get a hole in one without, you know, having to Nicklify it.
You know, that figures that he would say something like that. I mean,
yes.
I think what I'll do is I'll pass that comment along to Billy Payne, the general chairman of the Masters Tournament and chairman of the Augusta National Golf Club. And I suspect that Mr. Maselli's badge will no longer be on his chest.
Oh, Bob. Okay, so... Charlie Hoffman, is he just sort of like a place? I'm not sure how to put it. You know, do you think he's got a chance? Does he have a chance?
Yeah, he does, Danielle. And I was, you know, a lot of people seemed concerned. He came here well over 5 hours before his tee time. He was on the green putting. He was sitting up on the on the porch looking out over the golf course. You would never think that, hey, he's going to be the guy in the final pairing of the day. He's the guy that's closest to the lead at 9-under par. And he'll be there firsthand if things start to go wrong for Jordan Spieth. Charlie Hoffman will be energized even more by that. And you know, I anticipate Charlie Hoffman to have a great round three. But there's one stat that I find absolutely fascinating. The last time that a player finished runner-up one year and then came back to the Masters the next year and won the championship, we have to go way back to 1983 and 84. In 83, Ben Crenshaw finished second. In 84... Ben Crenshaw finished first.
Wow.
Where's Ben Crenshaw from? He's from Austin, Texas. Where's Jordan Spieth from? He's from Dallas, Texas, but went to the University of Texas in Austin. Matter of fact, Ben played a practice round with Jordan earlier this week, and Jordan was like a sponge out there. Every word that Ben said, Jordan was digesting and putting it into his game plan. And that's just the gentleman that Ben is, and we should pay tribute to him. He's completed his last Masters competition 43 years in a row, 39 years with the same caddy, and two victories up on the board. And the one thing that I'll forever remember, in 1995, when he won for the second time, he had just returned the day before from being the pallbearer for Harvey Pinnock, his longtime mentor and coach and friend. And prior to that, many years prior to that, I had been introduced to Harvey and took some golf lessons from Harvey. And so Ben really knew that I was friendly with Harvey, and then I was saddened by the fact that he had to be buried the day before. And on his way to Butler Cabin, I was doing my post-round interview with tears in my eyes and tears in Ben's eyes. I simply said, Ben, how much did Harvey play in this victory? without batting an eyelash, he said Harvey was the 15th club in my bag. And then when Ben got in the media room, he kept using that. That headline went around the world several times. The following week, the event was in Houston, and Janice went over to Ben and said, Ben, I have a copy of the tape of you saying that about Harvey. And the next thing, I get this great letter from Ben Crenshaw thanking me for that recording. Yeah. So Ben Crenshaw retiring, special moment for me.
Absolutely. A wonderful man. Gentle Ben. I mean, it couldn't, it sums everything up. And now he's in his second career as golf course designer, Corin Crenshaw, and traveling around the world and making gorgeous golf courses. It's absolutely perfect.
The fascinating thing, Danielle, when Crenshaw and Corin get a phone call from somebody that wants a golf course built, the first question Ben asks, is there going to be houses involved in this? And if the answer is yes, Ben says, well, you want somebody else then to design your golf course. We don't do golf courses as part of housing projects.
Oh, I love them. I didn't know that. Oh, goodness gracious, because there's nothing like, I've been on the most beautiful golf course. There was not a house to be seen. And I played that course. It was like being in heaven. And then the next time I was there, there were homes and I couldn't see the sight lines that I'd seen just, in my mind. I wish I hadn't gone back. I wanted to keep those memories, and I've kind of been able to almost wipe them out. What else? Is there a dark horse you're watching? You always have some inside. Is there somebody you think is going to come up from the back of the pack?
Well, it would not surprise me to see a great performance by Justin Rose. He's only 7 shots back. He's a major champion already, 2 years ago, winning the United States Open at Marion, a very old-fashioned type golf course, a little bit like Augusta National. Justin Rose's putter is working. He could make some noise. And we never know about Dustin Johnson. I mean, 3 eagles yesterday.
Yeah.
That's a Masters record. Nobody had ever made 3 eagles in one round. He has unbelievable length, and, he hit some incredible golf shots. So he certainly could do something. But I really fancy Justin Rose, just because he's got such a hot putter. And, by the way, he's an outstanding guy. And I'll even make a promise to you, Danielle. How about this one? If Justin Rose wins the Masters, he will make an appearance on Danielle Tucker's golf show.
You're kidding.
I am serious.
Well, then, I don't know. I've got to go do something. Light a candle? yes, a vigil has just begun.
No, what you got to do is you got to call Alex Maselli and say, Alex, please tell me Justin Rose is not going to do anything. That'll guarantee that he'll win.
Bob Bubka, so good talking with you. I know you've got Talk Sport waiting for you. I don't know how your voice keeps up for the 5 days that you just, but what a wonderful job you've got. And
I appreciate the opportunity to do what I do. I love this game of golf. I love radio. I truly admire the wonderful job you do there in Hawaii. You're building a legacy, and you're doing it with the passion that's required, because radio is not easy, but if it's done right, it's the best thing there is.
That's absolutely true. The Grill Room Golf Radio Show, that's Bob Bubka, Alex Maselli. Bob Bubka, the voice of golf, and he's on Talk Sport in the UK. And if you're listening and you haven't tuned in to Talk Sport in the UK, you must. TheGrillRoom.com is where you can find the show on demand, tune in radio, and every week, the newest. You can follow Bob at Bob Bubka, VOG, Voice of Golf, on Twitter. And I always post his show whenever it comes out with Alex Maselli, because it's always great to listen to. Thank you, Bob, for being on the show. And I know I got to let you go. Aloha.
Aloha.
We are KPUA Hilo, KGU Honolulu, KGU AM Honolulu, KONI FM Lanai City, KTOH FM Kalaheo. Next guest coming is James Seekman, and a very interesting man. He has, well, I'm not going to say mastered the short game, because that would be a big, you know, I mean, to master it means that you never make a mistake. But he certainly is one of the masters that people go to when they need help with their short game. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
It was our office manager's birthday, and she loves golf. So we decided to get together for golf at Poipu Bay, and we invited a bunch of our customers. It turned into a party. The clubhouse restaurant made a fabulous lunch. The customers had a great time and met the people they give orders to. They were golf buddies long before the 19th hole. Golf at Poipu Bay. Family, friends, business, and fun at Poipu Bay Golf Course on Kauai's South Shore. Spectacular. Call 742-8711 and book your tee time, get together, or event at Poipu Bay. That's 742-8711. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Gem.
The all-new 2015 Acura TLX with integrated dynamic system was engineered with four distinct drive modes that adapt to your every mood. Switch from fuel-saving econ to normal mode. Its responsive personality means the TLX is as thrilling as you make it. Now switch to sport mode. It offers quicker response and more agility. It also enhances the natural sound of the engine. And with the world's first 8-speed dual clutch transmission with torque converter, it will respond instinctively to your will with rapid and smooth shifts. And in sport plus mode, the harder you drive, the more dynamic the TLX feels as it taps its full performance potential. So, come in and test drive the all-new 2015 Acura TLX with Sport Plus mode. It's that kind of thrill.
Be sure to come visit your Hawaii Acura dealers and check out their latest models, cutting-edge features, and amazing deals. Visit your Hawaii Acura dealers today.
You scope out the sand traps. You size up the green. You're eyeing the flag. Now, it's time to choose a club. But you don't know which one to choose?
That's when you turn to Danielle Tucker. Now, back to The Golf Club.
All righty. You know, the big question is, why don't they show us more of the Masters on television? It's one of the, it's the tournament showing the fewest hours on TV. It's just interesting. They don't need it. So you've got to go. Jordan Spieth, Charlie Hoffman, Justin Rose, Dustin Johnson, Paul Casey, Phil Mickelson, and Ernie Els. Ernie Els. Isn't that awesome that Ernie Els, he designed Huakalei on Oahu. They're all not ready to tee off quite yet, but shortly. So let's take a listen to what Dustin Johnson, after the two eagles, monster errant strike. I mean, when he swung that driver a couple of times, it was like, wow. And then it went into the pine straw. And a fabulous recovery shot. Dustin Johnson looks like he's cruising, though. I mean, you know, like in a mall as he's walking through. And he's loving it. And this is after two good rounds.
Just need to go out and play two good solid rounds. You know, tomorrow's a, you know, an important day. Just need to play another good solid round, I think, and then just put myself in a position to have a chance to win on Sunday.
Exactly. Just two more good rounds. Put yourself in the right position. Don't let your mind wander. The young Irishman that we were all wondering, would he make the career Grand Slam this time? He's tied for 19th starting the day. He's moving along, moving on up. Had an eagle, 25 years already. Years old, that is. He's not the young kid anymore. He could complete the career Grand Slam. You never know. I mean, who's going to, you know, it's 2 days left. that would make the mean that he would won all four major championships, not all in one. You know, if you, that's a career, not the Grand Slam, if you do it all in the same calendar year. But he's not playing his best, but he managed an eagle yesterday. He's doing pretty good now. He makes it look easy. This is how Rory sums up the situation.
It's such a fine line. You know, the margin for error is so small, and missing it in the wrong places sometimes. And, you know, I missed a couple of really short putts out there, so that knocked my confidence a little bit. So there's a few things like that. But, you know, the good golf is in there. It's just a matter of, you know, trying to get rid of the bad stuff, which, you know, we all saw on the front nine today.
James Siekman is joining us now, performance coach, the pro who teaches the pro. He was a professional golfer, and then he realized that that wasn't his calling. Welcome into the clubhouse, James Siekman.
Hey, Danielle. Good to talk to you again.
It's good to talk to you. We first met in California, in San Diego, and you were working with a junior golfer there at the Grand, and it was really wonderful to watch you. Very subtle, the communication that the coach, the teacher has with the student. And am I incorrect? Did you coach Charlie Hoffman?
Yeah, I'm Charlie's coach. I was, been his coach since 2010. I was out there at Augusta with him this week, and he's doing quite well.
Yes, he is. He said that he hasn't had any blow up holes so far the last two. What happens as a player? You know, you're doing so well. Is it a matter of, like, losing? I know I lose my mind sometimes when I'm on the course and I get dehydrated or something distracts me. For me, it's on a completely different level. But for somebody on Charlie Hoffman's level, what happens?
Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot of potential pitfalls in a round of golf. And you're right, it could be as simple as, like, your nutrition, your sugars go down, or you get a little dehydrated. Or, like, Rory's saying there, you hit one or two bad shots, and then you just start thinking a bit too much, and you start to press, so you start to get discouraged, and you start to tinker with your swing. And, you know, those are the trends, the things all of us need to try and avoid. Danielle, I call it just kind of, you know, you obviously need to work hard. The work has to come first. You have to deserve to play good, but ultimately, you know, once you train it, you're just trying to let go and trust. And I call it kind of just being on a train ride. Imagine just kind of going down the tracks, and, you know, you're going fast and the train's loaded down and you can't stop regardless. You know, it just takes too long to stop. So you just stay on your little train ride and try to keep it rolling throughout the whole round. And it's easy to say, but it's tough to do.
Yeah, don't worry if the ties make you bounce up a little bit. And that
there's always going to be obstacles to overcome. There's always going to be little hiccups that you have to be resilient and move on from. But that's the key to, like I said, having that approach, just being on a train ride. It's like the last hole doesn't matter. The shot after this one doesn't matter. It's just like, I'm just going to go through my steps and hit this one shot and find my ball and do it again. But, you know, unfortunately, it's easy to live in the past, to miss a putt and think about it, to hit, you know, get a bad break and make a bogey and think about it. But you just kind of just move on to the next. And like I said, easy to say, tough to do.
James Siekman, performance coach, and you can find him at jsegolfacademy.com. J like James, segolfacademy.com. And you'll find your short game solution, James Siekman, your short game solution. A lot of great feedback coming out about your book and what a difference it's made to people. Do you teach at your academy? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, yeah, no, I have a golf academy in Omaha, Nebraska, and I've been at the same place for 20 years. And in addition to that, you know, I coach a lot of the guys on tour, not just the PGA, but the LPGA and Champions Tours as well. I've been doing that for the same amount of time. And, you know, I just try and focus on trying to help people get better. And there's a lot of ways to do that, Danielle. The one is, you know, technical improvement. that's a very small piece of the pie, and yet that's what everybody focuses on. So, I mean, do plenty of that, but there's other ways. You know, you can make your training time more effective. You can be more resilient, tough-minded, like we just discussed.
Uh-huh.
You know, so we're trying to take it all into account and just try and help people get a plan together to improve.
There's also a DVD, short game instructional series, on your website, jsegolfacademy.com, the Phase 5 system.
Both of these things, the DVDs came first. I just felt like I had a message, and not just technique-wise, but also just having an approach to getting better that I just was not hearing from other coaches, and I wanted to share it. So my first attempt was the DVD set, which you could buy it at phase5system.com. Or I was approached by a prominent publisher to write a couple of books. They said, you know, love what you do. I think it's a great story. I'd love to try and help you get it out there. So I wasn't confident I could take it on and, you know, get it done properly, but I think it came out quite well, and so the book is called Your Short Game Solution, and it's available at, you know, every major outlet, iTunes, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and any place you can buy a fine book. So I've been getting a positive response from a lot of people, and, you know, that's somewhat satisfactory.
It's Your Short Game Solution, Mastering the Finesse Game from 120 Yards and In. I got to ask you, and I bet everybody did. What happened with Tiger? I know you don't teach him, you don't have anything, but just as an observer,
yeah,
you must have had some thoughts about, what's going on here?
Well, you know, his coach and I are good friends, so I have, you know, I've seen it up close and personal, and I listen, Danielle, he worked so hard for so many years changing his golf swing, and those, especially his backswing, those full swing changes he made bled into his short game. And one of the points I make in the book is that the short game, the swing, the motion, the technique is not a mini full swing. It's essentially opposite of a mini full swing. And you really need to keep those separate, understand the differences and keep those separate. So his problems were completely technical in nature. And Chris Como, the new coach, you know, inherited those. He didn't create them. And he's a smart guy, and Tiger works hard, so I had been telling people for months that he would get it figured out, that wasn't mental, that it was physical, technical, and it seems to me that's exactly the case. I mean, he's tipped beautifully and short gamed it well this week.
Yeah, what's almost comical is that while he was playing short game was great, everybody worried about his driver. Now, if only he could get his driver working. And then he had the chipping disaster that we saw a couple of times. And everybody said, oh, God, it's over. And then the most recent thing I heard on television was somebody saying, oh, now his chipping is fabulous if he only could get his driver going.
Yeah, well, that's the problem with golf, but it's not him. It's all of us, right? It's always seems to be something.
Right, and but, expecting, yes.
Yeah,
sorry.
He'll get it. And the reality is, you're at a big disadvantage when you don't compete regularly or you don't train regularly. And can't tell me that being on the range at home or even playing holes at home is perfect preparation for something, you know, that the Masters is a three-ring circus out there. Just the amount of activity and the pressure and all the commentators, it's, you know, he can't prepare for that just at home.
No.
So, you know, if he can stay healthy enough, Daniel, in my opinion, to play a lot tournament-wise, he'll play fine, and he'll get back to winning ways.
Back to his winning ways, yes. Well, he certainly has the mental, the strength of his mind, I think we underestimate time and time again. Really like what Golf Magazine did, so much so that I don't have a copy of it, so I printed it. From July of 2013, golf.com, Golf Magazine, and you can find the cover story, the new short game system, and it's at jsegolfacademy.com. James Seekman is the person we're talking with, and it's his story. So you hinted to it or alluded to it just a minute ago, that everybody was teaching us that the short game is the mini full swing. But you came upon, you know, a light went on. Tell us.
Yeah, so the typical stuff we hear, you know, it's a mini full swing. You keep your head still. Keep your hands ahead of the club, you know, lean left or lean towards the target. All that is completely wrong. That's not what their best players do. And unfortunately, even though you could see it on TV, you just keep hearing the same old tired stuff that's kind of based in mythology in a way. And so I took a different approach. I studied the best players in the world, including guys like Seve Ballesteros, who I had access to through my brother, which was nice. My brother played on tour, and Raymond Floyd, and great guys, great performers, and just made up my own mind and said, you know what, I don't know what the correct method is, so I'm just going to observe what they do, and that's what I'm going to teach. And through that studying and through that study, you know, I came up with a organized way to approach it, five very simple kind of foundational type things that fit together nicely to work. Kind of a way to understand what happens when you're not performing, and actually backed it up with a little bit of science. You know, did some 3D testing out the Tyos Performance Institute. So, you know, it's all right there, and I think most people will probably find it a little bit enlightening. I've gotten quite a few notes from people saying, how come I never heard any of this stuff before? You know, so. It's out there now, so, you know, hopefully people will pick up the book and enjoy it and get better.
Well, certainly. I mean, you get to the, if you can become proficient with the driver or, you know, a three wood and get down to the within 120 yards, then that becomes critical. You're there. Now I would really like to not take four strokes to get to the hole.
Right.
And that's the bottom line. You just came from the Masters, right? This is your 26th year?
Yeah. You know, I missed a few years in between, but yeah, essentially I've been going maybe even longer than that. I think my first year might have been maybe in the late 80s. I caddied there in 1991 for my brother. He played twice. And, you know, I've been lucky enough to play it myself several times, and then I've been going to the tournament pretty much anytime I've had a player playing it, which is quite often.
Don't they usually mow the grass so that the grain is facing you rather than... Did they change that this year?
Yeah, they did. You saw my tweet.
Yes, I did.
I should know better and just kind of keep my mouth shut, I guess. But every year... So rye grass, overseeded rye, essentially does not have... is devoid of grain if you just let it grow. However, with a consistent mower pattern, you can mow it so the grain will lay one way or the other. And at the Masters, and you'll watch this on TV, the fairways are all mowed so, you know, away from the green toward the tee box, so the grass is laying into the grain. And so, therefore, when the ball lands, it doesn't bound and roll 100 yards down the fairway. It makes the golf course play very long. And they've always taken the mowers up around the greens, regardless of, you know, the green, what spot on the green, and turn them around and mowed away from the center of the green. And so that made the balls, when they hit the green and roll off, that would make them roll further away off the green, maybe down into the collection area. And then it made the chipping a little bit more difficult, because if you use the leading edge of your club and it digs into the turf, you can get a really ugly looking shot. So this year, you know, the fairways are still into the grain, but the greens, around the greens, are all down, which really makes it, I think, significantly easier. I think it's one of the reasons why you see such low scoring this year compared to most. I don't think most people would kind of pick up on that little cue, but I would suggest to you that it might make two shots around difference to the scores you're seeing.
Oh, that's why the red numbers. And the question in the media, you know, they're asking the reporters down there, well, you know, is Augusta worried about these red numbers? And I'm having read your tweet, and please don't not tweet.
Yeah,
your insight is appreciated. But I think it's interesting. Why would they change like? Do you have any idea why?
No, I have no idea. That was really an eye-opener, not only for me, but several of the players were talking about it as well. It's like, gosh, I can't believe this. This is bizarre. What's going on? But that's okay because it's a level playing field and everybody is, you know, playing and competing against each other. So there's no real advantage one way or the other. I just think that it's a little bit curious and, you know, since they're so conscious of protecting the golf course and the integrity of the course, I find it curious that they would make it a little bit easier in that way.
That's what I thought, too. We're talking with James Siekman, performance coach. He's one of the short game masters in the country, if not the entire golf world. And you can find him at JSEGolfAcademy.com, James Siekman, with two N's, if you're Googling and you didn't quite get that, James Siekman. When you're teaching a student, I'm going to take the liberty of just saying that I know you've taught a student who's kind of slow. And
yes.
They're, you know, that's difficult playing with people who are slow. And people who are slow probably, I don't know if they even notice that they're slow. They probably don't. But how do you get somebody out of an overblown pre-shot routine that is taking up so much time and get them picking up their pace?
Yeah, it's not just as simple as to say, okay, hey, waggle twice and hit it. Because it's tough as a player, especially if somebody who's paying their mortgage based on their performance or just really cares, like the rest of us, to play before they're emotionally and physically ready to do so. So, you know, what we try to do is two things. Number one, we try and find little time savers, little kind of ways to cheat the system, so to speak. Might have the caddy walk ahead 20 or 30 yards to get all the information so that when the player walks up to the ball, you know, they're not figuring that out up there. They're immediately going right away. And then the second thing you try and do is you try and define the pre-shot ritual and you leave nothing unturned. You know, you define everything and say, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to start this, get this information, walk in, line the face, line your body, waggle twice, one look here, whatever. So whatever it happens to be,
right.
You don't want them deviating from that, because if you let them and they're inclined and they're anxious, inclined to play slow and get a little bit anxious, they'll just grind to a halt. And so, you know, you really become a slave to a process to speed things up.
And it hurts the player. I mean, when you say you become a slave to the process, you're talking about the player becomes a slave to that process. And it must be painful.
Well, I mean, the way I meant it really was the opposite.
Is
that if you define what it is you're going to do and you just do it every time, then you feel ready and ready to compete and you'll play quick enough, you know, certainly play fast.
I understood that.
To your point, yeah, a guy or a girl that is slow, that's been made aware of it, that has their self-image tied to that, which is painful, yeah, that is a burden that I wish on nobody. And it definitely bothers the players that are slow to be known that way, and they are trying, you know, there's not more than one on the tour. There are probably 20. And I know several of them, and they're trying very hard to improve that portion of their game, and as they should, because it ruins it for everybody.
James Siekman, performance coach. Find him at JSEGolfAcademy.com. Get his book, Your Short Game Solution, Mastering the Finesse Game from 120 Yards and In. Great reviews, okay? Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Danielle. Appreciate it.
Aloha. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens.
Your plumbing can't wait.
It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight.
Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii.
Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home, you need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
Alert Alarm of Hawaii provides CCT surveillance systems for both commercial and residential customers across Hawaii. These systems can be monitored via the internet from anywhere in the world on your laptop or smartphone. We can also monitor your video systems for you from our 24-hour local 5-Diamond Alarm Monitoring Center. Call Alert Alarm at 528-6407 for a free security evaluation and estimate. Alert Alarm of Hawaii, your Kama'aina video surveillance company. Security solutions for your peace of mind.
Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
We're going to wrap up this beautiful day that we've had with Tiger Woods and Jordan Spieth and Phil Mickelson. Okay, Tiger Woods, you know, we didn't expect it, but he's really coming through. Let's hold the expectations because weekends have been brutal on him lately. And as he said, you know, he's tied for 19th as he starts. A lot can happen. And this is how he put it.
You know, I'm still right there. I mean, I'm obviously I'm 12 back, but there's not a lot of guys ahead of me. With 36 holes here to go, anything can happen. You know, 96 proved that. So we have a long way to go. I mean, there's so many holes to play, and so many different things can happen. As I said, we don't know what the conditions are going to be tomorrow, what the committee is going to do.
And it is moving day at the 79th Masters. And, you know, it's interesting how they've mown the greens. You know, the greens are different this year. It's a little bit easier. Thank you, James Siekman, for the insight there. Jordan Spieth, he has a 5-stroke lead. I just lost my database. It's tough. But as he knows, just because he's in the lead doesn't mean anything unless he can close it out.
The hardest thing to do is to put aside wanting to win so bad and just kind of going through the motion and letting whatever, you know, letting my ball striking and putting happen. You know, I got off to a great start and had a chance to win last year on Sunday. I'd like to have that same opportunity again this year. Again, this is only the halfway point, and I'm aware of that. Not going to get ahead of myself, and I'm going to try and stay in the moment and very patient these last 2 days and understand it's going to feel like a whole nother tournament.
The last time that a person who came in second, which, you know, Jordan did at the Masters, was 1983 and then came on and won it, was 1984. That person was Ben Crenshaw. He was second and won in 84. It'll be interesting to see if Jordan Spieth does the same. They spent a lot of time together and absorbed a lot of information from, I mean, it went from, of course, both ways, energy-wise, but Jordan Spieth learned a lot from Ben Crenshaw. I want to thank all the people who make our show possible. Alert Alarm of Hawaii, providing CCTV surveillance systems for both commercial and residential customers across the islands. These systems can be monitored anywhere. You can be, well, you know, as you're at the golf course, you're waiting because you can't do anything else. You could take out your phone, you know, your laptop, your smartphone, and check out what's happening with Ralph in the kitchen, Ralph being your curious dog. Acura of Honolulu, where military appreciation never ends. Ask TJ about the military appreciation pricing and discount at Acura's new location, 3251 North Nimitz Highway. It's right next to the airport hotel. Well, not next to it, sort of, because it depends which way you're going, right? Yes, but it's a great day to test drive an Acura. And it's an even better location to test drive an Acura because you're right there on Nimitz, and it's got all your it's a beautiful spot to test drive an Acura of Honolulu. Get on down to 3251 North Nimitz Highway. Creative Plumbing, whether you're a building, a shopping center, a store, a custom home, or a townhouse, oh, just call Creative Plumbing because it's got to be done right. Creative Plumbing. I can't do it the way he does. Star Protection for property threat. For risk assessment, yes, get them on their property. They'll check out where your vulnerabilities are. They'll put the protection in place that you need for your home or your business. And if you're putting on a concert or a special event, get the Star Team on your team. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection is what you need. And they're in Hawaii and California. And Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, hosted the PGA of America Grand Slam of Golf over 10 years. There's the 40% off table. There's the VIPs going out. Those would be the VIPs. And may you all hit the sweet spot every time at Poipu Bay. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2015.